This is a new voice for a new Scotland.
So, right, let's move on to the review of the week. Right, Monday, the rising number of COVID-19 cases is getting worrying. Daily numbers are up in the hundreds again. You know, whereas they've been in the double digits for a couple of months there, right? Now, the other thing is the R number's on its way. That's the rate of infection. That's how they calculate it. Well, it appears that the R number is on its way up, and the IPS went from 0.6 to 0.9, and it was sitting at 0.6 to 0.9. It's now moved from 0.9 to 1.4. Now, ideally, we want the R number to stay below 1, so we've got a wee bit of work to do to get that there, right? Monday, a study with the Scottish Licensing Board finds that the licensed trade sector, restaurants and pubs, could lose up to 12,500 jobs when the furlough scheme comes to an end, right? Now, what the study found was that they don't see businesses getting back to normal because of a vaccine found for this virus. Out of the 600 premises that took part in the study, 85% of them had seen a decrease in footfall and 87% of them had seen a decrease in revenue. They all reported it cost them up to £2,500 to get their premises ready to reopen for social distancing and the restrictions that were put upon them. Well, the footfall thing, we can understand that because they're only allowed half the amount of people onto their premises anyway. And the reduced revenue. Well, you know, if you're my age, you're not going to the pub. It's a risky venture. So if you're over 50, you're not going to the pub. So, looks like there could be problems ahead for the licensed trade and the pubs and the restaurants. And employment could become a bit of a problem. Alright? Monday. Speculation is over Labour branch office manager Richard Hughes' future goes on. Now, a wee bit of astuce starts across the border as well, as a Tory MP jumps in down there and says the reason why Tricky Dicky's no doing well up here is because he is English, or because he's got a Yorkshire accent. She's a wee bit cleverer than that, you know. But anyway, an almighty astuce starts, and a Twitter storm starts, and the wee woman, Dena Davison, Tory MP, she took pelters. Absolute pelters. People pointed out to her that the reason why Richard Leonard's no doing well up here is because the man's bloody well incompetent, he has no public profile, he has no idea what's reserved and what's devolved, and he's just crap at his job. Absolutely rubbish. 53% of people in Scotland have no idea who he bloody hell is. And that's the reason why he's no getting anywhere. No, because all us up here are racists. We don't really care where he comes from. You know, if he was any good at his job, then he would get to keep his job. But Labour's in a terminal decline in Scotland anyway because of the position of the constitution. So it doesn't matter who the new branch office manager is. It's not going to make any difference. None. None whatsoever. And maybe that wee Tory MP down there in Yorkshire will keep a trap shut in future and don't bother trying to accuse us all of being racists. Imagine a Tory who are xenophobic racist twats anyway and who think the English are superior to everybody else calling Scots racist. Couldn't get over that. You know, Tories are a special breed. You can't equate them to being Scottish, English, Welsh or Irish or Northern Irish. They're a special breed unto their own. I'm not even sure they fit into the human category, actually. Anyway, Monday, the Scottish Qualifications Authority issues the new exam results for the kids after the debacle of the exams with a failed algorithm which marked down all the poorest students in the country. So the kids get their new exams. I'm a wee bit worried about the results for this year, because I don't know how employers are going to view the results for this year. I really don't. It's a concern. It might actually impact on the kids' futures, and we would all hate to see that, you know. Right. Monday, the review of the special COVID restrictions that were placed on Glasgow, East Renfrew and Western Bartonshire are reviewed. Because of the rise in cases, it's decided on Monday not to relax the restrictions on not being able to visit each other in other people's houses. You know what I mean? The restrictions are staying in place for at least another 3 weeks, but they'll be reviewed another week. They're being reviewed weekly. And the area that the restrictions cover has to be increased. So it's to cover the whole of Glasgow, the whole of Dumbartonshire and the whole of Renfrewshire now. Alright? So, some people will not be chuffed, but tough. We'll try to, you know, the AFM's trying to save lives here. Also, Monday, the latest round of EU negotiations to get underway, and the sabre rattling starts right away. Boris Johnson comes out and says that there has to be a deal in place by the 15th of October, or it's no deal. Alright? Also, Monday, it becomes clear that the internal market bill about to go through Westminster would impinge on the EU withdrawal treaty, in particular the Northern Ireland protocols which were put in place in that treaty to keep Northern Ireland in the single market and protect the Good Friday Agreement and to ensure that there's no hard border on the border on the island of Ireland, right? So, you know, it becomes quite clear that the UK intends to breach that treaty, the withdrawal agreement. Anyway, Brexit and the Brexit, as I said Monday, second Tuesday, I was reporting on this stuff. Brexit and the Brexit withdrawal treaty doesn't make any sense because that would impinge on the Good Friday Agreement. Impinging on the Good Friday Agreement means that there will be no trade treaty with the Americans. In fact, they made it quite clear on Tuesday, the Americans. You won't get a trade deal. It won't make it through the Congress and it won't make it through the Senate because the Irish caucus earlier is massive. Right? So breaking the Good Friday Agreement isn't a good idea because the Yanks are not doing them a deal, and nobody else will do them a deal. Nobody will deal with them because they're breaking international treaties and international law. Alright, moving on to Tuesday, the 8th of September. Busy day, Tuesday. Tuesday starts again with the chat on the rising rates of COVID in the west of Scotland, and it's SNP bad because Nicola Sturgeon has increased the area that the restrictions in the west of Scotland cover. So, Renfrew and Eastern Berkshire are added into the special measures. So, it's all FM and SNP bad on Tuesday morning. Tuesday, it's reported in The Guardian that the UK is hemorrhaging academics. Absolutely hemorrhaging academics since the Brexit vote in 2016. Now, the piece was penned by Professor Ulf Schmidt, a German fella who, after 25 years, is up sticks and leaving. And he's taking his research money and his research with him to Hamburg. Now, what Professor Schmidt had to say was that England is no longer a welcoming place for foreigners, so he's off ski. And he also states that 2,500 academics have fled Scotland, which is disproportionately high when there's only 10,000 have fled the whole of the UK. 2,500 flee in Scotland is disproportionately high. But anyway, Mr. Schmidt said that Professor Schmidt said the other reason why academics are leaving is a lot of the research funding comes from the EU. So they're having to move to EU countries to be able to maintain the research funding. So there's going to be big problems ahead in the education sector, especially the higher education sector, universities and colleges, and it's going to really have an impact on the future of young people here in the UK. And especially in Scotland, with that amount of academics leaving Scotland. Absolutely horrific. But 7,500 of them have left elsewhere in the UK, and Professor Schmidt is saying the reason why he's leaving England is because it's no longer a friendly place for him to be. He's been there for 25 years. But he just says it's not a friendly place for foreigners to be anymore. And that's a concern. That should be a concern to us all. The attitudes they have down there. Tuesday, a poll for Business for Scotland says that 83% of Scots are more likely to vote for independence because of Boris Johnson. Right, brilliant. Bojo's the best recruiting sergeant we've ever had. Keep up the good work, Bojo. Tuesday, Bojo the Clown goes onto the TV to tell us all that his Brexit withdrawal agreement, which he negotiated, forced through Parliament, without proper scrutiny for MPs and won a general election on the back of his oven-ready deal, doesn't make sense. So Bojo appears on the TV to tell us all that he misled England. Because let's face it, up here we didn't vote for the idiot or his party. But down there in England, they voted for his oven-ready deal and to get Brexit done. Bojo's on the telly telling him the withdrawal agreement doesn't make any sense, so they're not going to honour it. All right, that gets funnier as the day goes on. Right, Tuesday, day three of the inquiry into the civil services handling or mishandling of the Alex Salmond debacle is back on. Back in the chair to be grilled by the committee is Leslie Evans. Leslie Evans tells the committee that normally these sort of allegations would be handled informally and come to a conclusion, a resolution informally. In fact, she even goes on to say that one of the complainers in the Alex Salmond criminal case had made a complaint and that the complaint had been satisfactorily dealt with and the person in question had asked to remain working in the First Minister's office, the previous First Minister's office, right? She then also goes on to admit that once HR procedures were changed, this person was pursued by the civil service to bring criminal charges against Alex Salmond. So the plot thickens, right? Also on Tuesday, it's muted that Mr. Salmond himself might go to court to get the Scottish Government stroke civil service to release the court papers for when he took them to court and sued them. He wants these papers provided to the committee who are going through this stuff. So this is getting more and more interesting and the plot thickens. So we'll see where it leads. Right. Also Tuesday, the head of the government's legal department in the civil service, Jonathan Jones, quits. He walks out the door over the UK government's intentions to breach the EU withdrawal treaty. So he's off. He's not having his reputation impinged on by these people. He's not hanging around. He's away. Tuesday afternoon, emergency questions meeting in the Commons, the Northern Ireland Secretary gets up and tells stunned MPs and stunned onlookers that the Westminster government, is intending on breaching the Good Friday Agreement and breaching the withdrawal agreement. Anyway, Brandon Lewis stands up in the Parliament and says, we're going to break the treaty. We're going to break international law. We're going to trash the Good Friday Agreement, but just in a wee bit, just a wee bit. You know, just a wee bit. When it gets to Wednesday, that wee bit becomes a huge ocean, but we'll get there. Now, MPs feet all in the chamber, as a stunned public watches on, MPs all in the chamber lambast Brandon Lewis, the Northern Ireland Secretary, because he's a muppet that's been put up there to take it. He gets absolutely slaughtered for Labour, the SNP, the Lib Dems, and the Tories. The Tories can't believe what's happening. They're going after bloody nut and all. Only three MPs on the Tory benches came to his assistance. And Brandon Lewis was standing there wishing they bloody well, hadn't he? Ian Duncan Smith, John Redwood, and Steve Baker stands up in that bloody chamber and tells the House and all us watching on that they knew in December, right after the general election, that Boris Johnson had no intention of sticking by the withdrawal agreement that he had negotiated, he had forced through Parliament without proper scrutiny, and he had won a general election on the back of it. So there you had three Tory senior MPs, two of them past ministers, maybe three of them past ministers, standing up in the chamber, explaining to the public and to the chamber of MPs that Boris Johnson flat out lied to the public in that election. With his other ready deal. He basically lied to the public to win the bloody election. The horror in the chamber and the horror of the watching public. I wish it could be measured, but I'll tell you what, it could be bloody well felt. I could hear a collective gasp right across these bloody islands as you get Brandon Lewis standing there telling them at the dispatch box they're going to breach international treaties and international law, and you've got three senior Tory backbenchers start up and tell us that they knew about this in December. That made a lot of bloody sense, actually, because right after that general election, Bojo went to Northern Ireland to appease the unionists who are there, and he told them there would be no border in the Irish Sea and there would be no customs controls. Back then, it was all on the papers, just before Christmas. And everybody was going, what the hell's he talking about? He's just agreed to a border in the Irish Sea. But he was out there telling him he wasn't going to be one. So that all sort of falls into line. He actually negotiated a bloody treaty that he had the intention of honouring. Bojo and his shirt in number 10 turned the UK into a pariah state, and the potential for trade deals with anybody after we're out the EU and out the EU transition period, whether it be October or December, are bloody slim to nothing. They have just guaranteed the UK economy is going to crash because the internal market can't support the UK, fiscally or otherwise. Do you know, in all my years of watching politics, I've never seen anything bloody like it. I mean, the Commons erupted. The bloody place nearly went up in flames. There were MPs sitting there in total shock and horror. They're watching public, as I say, I could hear a collective gasp right across these islands. You've never seen anything like it. You know what they say though, don't you? And it's going to become a theme as this bloody week goes on. Never trust a bloody Tory. Never trust a bloody Tory. They're not even the same breed as the rest of us. But anybody that knows anything about business, when you enter into negotiations, you want to ensure you get good faith and you live up to the contract you sign, because that way there's always a chance of future negotiations and mere contracts. What happened on Tuesday was the UK became a pariah state. Nobody's going to touch them with a bloody bars pole, especially no the Americans, who were supposed to be our saviours as we dropped to a market of 500 million people. There was supposed to be a market of 330 million people across the pond waiting to plug the black hole. No going to happen. It was made quite clear by the end of Tuesday, the Yanks will not do a trade deal with the UK if they break the Good Friday Agreement and the Northern Ireland protocols. Right, moving on. Tuesday also seen another bloody Tory U-turn. This time, Housing Minister James Brokenshire's promise to implement the full findings of the Grenfell Tower inquiry and put them into legislation in the new fire safety legislation that's passing through Westminster at the moment. Anyway, the amendment was laid. The recommendations of the Grenfell Tower inquiry are in there in the amendment in full. Bloody Tories voted it down. It never passed. The amendment was binned. So the Grenfell Tower inquiry findings out the window. James Brokenshire lied through his bloody teeth. And, as they say, never touched a bloody Tory. So if you live in a high-rise block of flats down that bloody road, move house! And finally for Tuesday, Sir Keir Starmer was asked about Labour's position on the Brexit situation and whether there should be another Brexit referendum in light of the fact that 67% of the people in England now want to stay in the EU. Sir Keir Starmer, being a fully bought up, paid for and owned member of the British state, said the issue's over. It's not to be looked at again. Move on. That just put the final nail in the coffin here in Scotland for Scottish Labour. So it did. Because overturning the Brexit result and offering the Scots federalism was all Scottish Labour had to offer. Now they've got nothing to offer. Nothing. It was absolutely nae point. You know, nae point in Scottish Labour anyway. They're dead. They're gone. And the sword was put through them by Sir Keir Starmer himself. Right? Because they've got nothing left to offer the people. There's no way there's going to be federalism, and there's no way we're getting back into the EU via the UK route. So, Scottish Labour, need. So it doesn't matter who the new idiot that takes off his Tricky Dicky is, it won't make any difference. Okay. Right after Starmer's statement, it becomes clear up here in Scotland that there's enough MSPs now to own side to mount a legislative challenge to Tricky Dicky if the NEC don't kick him out of the office on Saturday coming, tomorrow, because the Labour NEC is holding a vote of confidence in Tricky Dicky the more. Alright, so if he survives that, there's going to be a leadership challenge. Moving on to Wednesday, right? Right, the controversial hate crime bill is in the news. Bumza Yousif is on the radio to defend the bloody thing, right? Now, the reason why it's in the news is the Tories intend to have it struck off before it makes its way through the Parliament. They're hoping to get a vote to prevent it from reaching the floor of the Parliament to be discussed and to pass through as a bill, right? They need everybody, all the opposition parties to get on board with them, right, to stop this bill from progressing. Didn't happen. Labour, the Greens and the Lib Dems all said that they'll work with the government to turn this bad piece of legislation into something that'll bloody well work. So the Tories' attempts to stop the passage of the hate crime bill through the Parliament didn't work. Shame that, because it is a bad piece of legislation. Let's hope when they all sit down around the table and this goes through the Parliament and gets amended and amended and amended, that what comes out the other side is a bloody workable piece of legislation. Because at this point in time, it's a bad piece of legislation. You know, you can go and bloody look at it yourself. It is a bad piece of legislation. Right, the power grab is also up for discussion on Wednesday because the white paper, the internal market white paper bill will be published later. Right, and this is in the morning. Right. It's also being talked about because the internal market bill, as we found out on Tuesday, will breach the international treaties of the Good Friday Agreement and the EU withdrawal agreement, breach of protocol on Northern Ireland. Right? So that's up for discussion as well. Wednesday it's announced that Scotland's Trace and Protect app, it goes live on Thursday, and an ad campaign is underway to get people to download it. Alright? Lunchtime Wednesday, Prime Minister's Questions gets underway. Right? I've never seen anything like it, folks. Absolutely shocked and bloody stunned is all I can say about Prime Minister's Questions on Wednesday. Sir Keir Starmer, a lawyer, one of England's top prosecutors of once upon a time, and a legal eagle, what did he go on? Did he go on, the Tories going to breach international treaties? No. A shocked UK public and a shocked chamber seen Sir Keir Starmer ask about COVID-19 track and trace failures. Failures in the testing system. How people couldn't get tests. Everybody was shocked. Everybody in the chamber was shocked. Everybody watching was shocked. We're expecting to get torn into Bojo about going to break international law and he's talking about COVID-19. Unbelievable. Sir Keir Starmer, he looked uninterested and he looked as if he'd been bloody well nobbled. He looked as if he'd been ordered to stay away from the bloody subject. And that's interesting because we'll get to that on Thursday as well when we get the First Minister's Questions. Right, so Sir Keir Starmer wastes his six questions on track and trace down there and on COVID-19 down there and Bojo gave him a fair going. Bojo bounced, you know, since Starmer came to the chair of a head of the Labour Party, he has bounced Bojo all of that chamber. Week in, week out, he bounces Bojo all of that chamber, make Bojo look like a clown. Well, he is a bloody clown, we all know that. Yesterday, Bojo spanked Starmer, and Starmer took it. Bojo, of course, blustered and bluffed and told Starmer to get on board with the government. Bojo doesn't seem to understand the concept of opposition, the daft clown. But Starmer laid down and took it. He was like a bloody doormat yesterday. And everybody, and I mean every bloody buddy was shocked. Right. Next up was Ian Blackford. Ian Blackford, he went on the power grab and the intention to breach international treaties. Bojo blustered and tell Ian Blackford that it, far from being a power grab, there would be a flush of new powers going to the Scottish Parliament after we leave the transition period and Brexit is fully implemented. Ian Blackford called him a bloody liar. At that point, the chair intervened. The speaker intervened and told Mr. Blackford, you're a valuable member of this chamber. You'll need to withdraw that statement. Ian Blackford didn't. The speaker withdrew it for him. The speaker says, well, I'll withdraw it for you. So that statement of Ian Blackford calling Bojo a bloody liar, although it's out there in the public realm because we've all seen it, it'll be struck for Hansard's record and won't go into the record of the day's goings on in the Parliament. Right? The surprise at Prime Minister's questions was Alistair Carmichael. Lib Dem, for the Shetlands or whatever the bloody hell it is. The one that was proven to be a liar in the Scottish courts. He tried to pin something on the First Minister and made an arse of himself and ended up in court. His constituents tried to get him booted out of his position and trigger a by-election because of his dishonest behaviour. But they lost on the technicality, so he kept his seat. Although the judge did tell Carmichael he's a liar. Anyway, Carmichael, he stands up and says to Bojo, if you intend to breach international treaties and international laws, why should Scotland bother with Section 30 order? Why should Scotland pay any attention to the Scotland Act? They should just go on with doing what they're going to do. Everybody in Scotland was shocked and bloody stunned. Is there something in that internal market bill that's changed Alistair's mind? Is he jumping ship? Could well be, because we're going to get to that in a bloody minute. Right, moving on. Wednesday, the internal market bill white paper is published. Right, and I get my horns in a copy of it. So off it goes down the bloody rabbit hole. And what I discover in there is absolutely phenomenal. They don't just intend to breach one international treaty, two international treaties. They intend to put themselves outside the law. The cabinet intends to put itself outside the law. You won't, listen, get yourself a copy of this and get to section 45. Paragraph 1, 80G. It tells you what they are no longer going to abide by. You have never seen anything like this. I'm going to read it to you right enough. So in the future, Westminster Parliament and Westminster governments will no longer abide by any provision of the Northern Ireland Protocol, any provisions of the EU Withdrawal Bill, right, this is A and B, right, we see, any other European or international law. Do you get that? Paragraph 45, subsection 1, appendix C. You don't intend to abide by any EU or international law. Any provisions of the section D, any provisions of the 1972 European Communities Act, well, they're leaving the EU anyway. Right? Only E. Any provisions of the EU Withdrawal Act 2018, so they're going to just welch on the whole bloody treaty. Right? F. Any retained EU law or relevant international laws or agreements. This is the things they're not going to abide by. But G. G is the killer. Section 45, subsection 1. Paragraph 1, subsection G. This is a killer, this one. Right? The government in Westminster will no longer abide by any other legislation, convention, or rule of international or domestic law. Basically, they're going to put themselves above the law, out with the law. In section G, it goes on to say, international or domestic law whatsoever, including any order, judgment, or decision of the European courts, or any other court or tribunal. Do you get that? Any other court or tribunal. That means they're not going to abide by any ruling by the Scottish courts, the English courts, the Irish courts, the European courts, or the international courts. They're going to break international law just a wee bit, are they? No, they're not going to break it. They're going to put Westminster and whatever governments in power outside the bloody law. In this bill, the UK government, the criminal cabal at number 10, will be answerable to no bloody body. Nobody. No, the English courts, the Scottish courts, the Northern Irish courts, the international courts, the European courts, they are going to be answerable to bloody nobody. I suggest, folks, that you download this white paper and read it. This is bloody terrifying stuff. Right, move on to section 46. And where it's going to impinge on devolution. Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales, right? And where the UK government's going to bypass the devolved parliaments and directly fund. You ready for this? Number one, health. They're going to oversee and overtake all the health, all the different national health services. They can fund it direct if they want. They can bypass the parliaments if they want. They will package it up the way they have the English package, the English NHS, and they will absolve Scotland, the Scottish government and the UK government of any need to provide healthcare to Scottish people, as they did in the 2012 Health and Social Care Act down there in England. They'll pass it up over the NHS and open it up to the markets. Education. They'll bypass Holyrood. By the way, all these things used to be in the hands of the Scotland office. Did you know that? Interesting that. Anyway, education. It'll bypass the Scottish Parliament, introduce tuition fees, and it might well do what it did down in England and create trusts and take schools out of the hands of the local authorities and put them in the hands of these trusts. All right. Agriculture. That's going to allow them to lower food standards, lower animal husbandry standards, introduce GM crops, and introduce hormones into your livestock. This is bloody horrifying stuff. Right. Environment. That will allow them to basically landscape in any way they want or destroy it in any way they want. Fracking is now back on the table. And remember how skint the UK is going to be after Brexit and nobody want to do a trade deal with them. They're going to need to generate revenue. And if that means fracking right across the west of Scotland and ruining the water supply and everything else, they will bloody well do it. Transport. Just bypass Holyrood and put in whatever infrastructure they think is important. So the 2.2 billion that we spend on infrastructure every parliament, Bojo can take that to build his bridge to Ireland. A bridge that nobody wants. A bridge that would be no bloody good anyway. And a bridge that would be probably impossible to build because of the Mariana Trench, which is for Second World War and nuclear munitions. Right, anyway, fisheries. At the moment, fisheries have devolved. Although quotas and sustainability is run for the EU, they're going to take fisheries away and they will be in charge of quotas and sustainability. So the North Sea will be bloody empty in 2 years' time. I don't know where bloody fish left now. Hazardous substances. That's the chemicals that are permitted to be sprayed in fields and things like that. Right? Monsanto will have a field day there, won't they? Also allows fracking chemicals and that to be made legal here in Scotland, which they are not at the moment. So fracking's definitely back to Kurtz, folks. Right? Public procurement. Supplies and services. So they just take public procurement out of the hands of the Scottish Parliament and they fund direct through councils and tell councils who they can and can't procure thing. Right? Horrifying stuff. They just turn the Holyrood into less than a bloody county council. Right, and the legal system will allow them to overrule Scots law, which they're not allowed to do in the Treaty of Union. Scots law and English law are equal, never the twain shall meet. But decisions in the Scots courts were just as binding on the Westminster government as decisions in the English courts or as decisions in the Northern Irish courts. All out the window. That went out the window under Section 45. It is reinforced in Section 46 of that white paper bill, folks. This stuff is bloody horrifying. Right, now I'm still working my way through this bill, and I dare say we'll be chatting about it as time goes on. Finally, for Wednesday, just to divert people's attention after all the shenanigans that went on in Westminster that day, Bojo appears on the TV to tell everybody Christmas could be cancelled because of COVID. So he's just trying to divert attention to the plebs by telling us Christmas could be cancelled unless we all behave ourselves. And he also says that there's going to be tighter restrictions coming back into place than in England. But that's to be expected as we get nearer and nearer the Brexit cliff edge, because social unrest in there is as highly bloody likely as people lose their jobs, their incomes, as the banks repossess their houses, as the landlords boot them out of the streets. So civil unrest in there could be really, really a big problem. Up here, I don't think it'll be such a problem because we're used to peaceful protest. We're good at organising protests and them kept going off peacefully. The only way that there'd be any trouble with them is if some arch unionists decide to act like idiots. But down there, they're a bit like the French. You know, when there's a protest on, they just set everything on fire. Moving on to Thursday, 10th of September. Scotland's COVID-19 Trace and Protect app is up and running. And by the evening, already 500,000 people have downloaded it. That's really good. That is really good. hopefully they'll get to the 60% that will make it totally viable as an app, you know. Right. First Minister follows England and he cuts the amount of people that can meet indoors down to 6. Right. She also makes it clear that we're not moving from stage 3 of exiting lockdown to stage 4 of exiting lockdown. Transmission rates go that high now, between 0.9 and 1.4. That's the R rate, that is a, that she's not moving his own. We're staying exactly where we are right now. There might be local restrictions put in place in other places depending on how things go, but we are definitely not moving from stage 3 to stage 4 of moving out of lockdown. All right? For after a briefing, we get First Minister's questions, right? Now, First Minister's questions yesterday was a strange affair. It was a bit like down that road, Keir Starmer. Up here, the cuckoos in the nest went out their way to avoid talking about the Brexit deal, the Brexit international law. They went out their way to ensure that none of that came up. You could see the First Minister was champing at the bit for it to come up. But the First Minister's questions was a subdued thing yesterday. Really strange because it's normally quite combative, right? Anyway, Baroness Ruthie Tank Commander went on Trace and Protect and on testing, right? First Minister answers her questions, a bit of part ball. Ruthie gets to keep her seat this week. She doesn't get her bottom spanked and she's no sent after the naughty state. Next up is Richard Hu. The pale man of Scottish politics, the guy that nobody knows who the hell he is, and is about to be bounced right out of his seat. Right? He also went on testing and the mental health fallout from COVID-19. Right? The FM, as usual, it was back to usual with Richard, nice and gentle, idiot's guide, tells him she's not going to get too technical, explains things to him as if she's talking to a child. Richard, too, gets to sit back, doing no slaughter. Nae spanking, nae sent after the naughty step. Nah, nice. It was strange. Really strange to watch. I've watched it 3 times then. You know, really, really weird. I've watched Bojo, I've watched Prime Ministers a couple of times and all. Because, strange as hell. Anyway, Patrick Harvey was back to universities and the fears of universities opening up. Him and First Minister have a nice wee chat, and then we move on to Willie Rennie, the other pale, oblique man of Scottish politics, although they did tell me he's a good constituency MSP. But anyway, wee Willie, he goes on Test and Protect, and he says the test bit's not working right. The First Minister has to explain to him, something's due to the availability of testing, you know, and how the tests are being shared around the UK. And now Scotland probably punching above its weight and getting more than its population share of tests. He also goes on Professor Linda Bald's assertion that there could be civil unrest because of the ongoing COVID restrictions. Right. Now I've reported on that on Wednesday, and I said that's a lot of piss, she's talking rubbish, and I stand by it. Anyway, the First Minister Scottie Brunett said she'd read the report. Right. So that was First Ministers. Everybody got to keep their chair. Nobody got bloody slaughtered. It was weird. Yesterday it's announced that the BBC political editor, Brian Taylor, is to retire. Now Brian was an arts unionist. I think over the last few while he's beginning to change his mind. You can see it in his reporting, especially in his reporting of the pandemic. Brian Taylor was bumming the First Minister up all the time. And you can tell that Pacific Key wasn't comfortable with it. So Brian's been retired. Also yesterday, the BBC announces that it's no longer going to show the First Minister's briefings. You know, that's a concern. Just as this infection and this virus is starting to take hold again, the BBC are going to stop her daily public health briefings. They're saying it's due to editorial situations, and they'll put on our briefings if and when something big happens, but that's in line with the other UK nations, which isn't true. Northern Ireland, Wales and Scotland are ordained daily briefings. Only Westminster does know. Right. Anyway, the new BBC Director General down there, Tim Davey, Tim nice but dim. Well, Tim no nice but dim. You know, he's an arch Tory. And Tim, he doesn't want the First Minister on the screens up here all the time. They understand down that road that her profile worldwide has shot up in this pandemic, and support for Scottish independence is shot up during this pandemic, because what they are seeing is a true leader, leading their people and keeping them safe, where you've got a bloody shambles down that road. So the BBC's new Director General, Tim Davie, who used to be the chair of one of their associated Tory associations down there, Tim, he wants to shut them up. He wants to shut her up. Wants to lower her public profile in the hope that it'll see the SNP's ratings drop again. All right, but it's a bloody dangerous time to do it. And a huge backlash has ensued. There's petitions out there. The BBC get bombarded. So let's move on to this morning and what the papers say. So the record goes on. Scotland hit for six. Referring to the fact that the First Minister has decided to limit the amount of people who you can visit you in your own home. All right? The Herald goes in the same. The Telegraph goes in the same. The Sun goes in the same. The Eye, the Daily Mail and the Express, they all go in the same. Variations of the same headline. Right? The National Light goes on BBC dropping AFM daily briefings. The Scotsman goes on workplaces must open up to prevent mass unemployment. Or what's to that effect, alright? The Times goes on dozens of Tory MPs to revolt over the idea that the government are going to breach international treaties. Right? And it also goes in a bollocks bullshit story about the Shetlands looking for independence for Scotland. Let's make this clear. Under international law, the Shetlands break away and become independent for Scotland. They don't take the sea with them. They get a 10-mile exclusion zone round that island. The rest of it's still Scotland's continental shelf. So this is a bollocks story. This is made up. You know, the Shetlands would be absolutely skint. They would be back to being a fishing community. And somewhere where very, well, they wouldn't be skint actually, because the cruise ships would still dock there. But if they think they're taking the oil with them, they're after chump. All they get is a 10 or a 12-mile exclusion zone round their island. That's it. The rest of it still stays in Scotland's continental shelf. It's just a bollocks made-up story in the Times. Right? And the Star, well, the Star goes on. I have no idea what this is. If your name's Andy, it's your round. So if there's any Andys watching, apparently it's your turn to go to the bar. The Star's just a comedy. I just keep reporting it for the comedy values, you know. Right, now listen. Ray's going to have to clip and chop this to get it to fit. So it's in the truck, Davey, out the truck and in his office. Have a nice day. Right, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the review of the week. I hope you found it informative and entertainment. And entertaining at the same time. There was a lot to get angry about in there, and I'm no bad when I go on a wee rant, you know. But the usual stuff. So look after yourself. All right? The usual. Even if you don't think this virus is real, hedge your bloody bets. Right? Facts. Face coverings. Avoid enclosed spaces. Avoid large gatherings. Clean hands and cold surfaces regularly. And 2 meters social distancing. And book a test if you've got symptoms, all right? Now, I want you all to be careful at the weekend. Don't go to any whose parties. You know, don't make an arse of yourselves and stay safe, all right? Say cheerio, Sarah.
Say cheerio, Sarah.
That's it, Sarah, say cheerio to Sarah. So that's it for this week, folks. Look after each other.
Have a nice day.
This is a new voice for a new Scotland.
And in life, don't radio.